Good morning, guys. Nick Baker. I am your host, and you're listening to Become More Than I Am Now. I would like to read Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, they are a lot of things going on right now. I heard there is a hurricane coming this way. But it's pretty cold. Well, it's not cold, but nippy out this morning here in New York. But. I am a founder of Hope for the Disabled. I'm born with cerebral palsy. There's no medical reason why I have it. I know that I always focus on my ability, not my disability. There are things out there that are more crippling than me. That is called fear. FEAR. False evidence appearing real. Because fear cripples you. Because if you have fear that cripples you, you are not going to see the truth of God. You're going to see the negativity. You're going to see how the enemy is kind of taking advantage of you. I'm going to start a sermon series called Ephesians. But I'm not going to start that today. I would like to talk about the most important things, but the Book of Ephesians series would be down the road. This week, I want to focus on how to overcome your disability. That's the series I'm going to start this week, Overcoming Disabilities. And this is part one of the series of Overcoming Disabilities. I might be here tomorrow. I might not be here tomorrow. If not, I'm going to start part two next Tuesday. You can check out my website. It is Hope for the Disabled. .weebly.com. You could check it out. Check out my blogs and all that. Also, you can subscribe to our website. We will be selling stuff on our website. Hope for the Disabled. It is hopeforthedisabled.weebly.com, and it is important to well, the purpose of this ministry is to focus on, well, it's to raise money for people with disabilities who can't afford medical supplies, like braces, wheelchairs, crutches, I wear braces, long leg braces that go up to the thigh, above the knee. People ask me, how do you learn how to walk with a long length braces that goes up to your knee and thighs? I tell them that I always find ways to overcome my challenges. And I was in the Boy Scouts, I went hiking up in West Point. I did a 20-mile hike. I went dog sledding up in Canada, knowing that there are obstacles in my way. I always find ways to overcome those obstacles. What are obstacles? If I'm on a trail hiking with the boys, and there's a tree branch or a log in the way, I climb over it. You may think, well, Nick, with the braces, how do you climb over a dead tree that is lying in the middle of the hiking trail? Well, I sit over it, and I turn myself around. As I sit on a log, I turn myself over, and I get back up. That's how I climb over a log. Tree branches, that's a piece of cake, but a dead tree that's in the way, I sit on it, and I turn my body around to climb over it. It's hard to lift my knee higher up to climb over things, but I always find ways to get around it. But with my disability, I have mountains that I always face. I did a speech on how to climb mountains at my old elementary school in Montgomery, New York. It's called Berea Elementary School. Berea is a really amazing school. It's a good school, good teachers, good staff, good principals. There's a new principal there who I adore. He's a really good guy. I don't remember his name, but he's an Eagle Scout himself, just like me. I pretty much invited the whole staff of that school to come to my Eagle Court of Honor April 12th, 2015. That's 3 years ago when I got my Eagle Scout rank. Yes, I'm a public speaker. I'm not just an evangelist. I am a public speaker as well. I visit Boy Scout troops. I visit schools. I visit churches. And I give my testimonies all over the place. And if you work with my mom at Blue Cross Blue Shield, and you're part of the conference calls, please, 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 let her know. If you want me to come down to your church, and I will check my schedule with my partner Dave and the church itself, Because we have a lot of events coming up that I would like to be a part of. And I don't want to, and two, I don't want to interfere with your pastor's schedule. Or if you are a pastor and you want me to come down to your church, please let my mom know during the conference calls, and I will come down to where you are. If it's drive distance, I'll hop in the car or my bus. We have a bus here. I could hop on the bus and head down. Or if it's flying distance, I'll hop on the plane. The ministry pays for everything. If my dad is part of the ministry, him and his pastor friends helps pay for the airline tickets. I wouldn't mind going out there to your state or country, whatever you live at. I wouldn't mind coming down there to visit your church or scout troop. If you're a scout master, wouldn't mind coming to the scout meetings to talk to the boys about how I overcome my challenges. Yes, there are disability awareness merit badges, I earned it myself, disability awareness. Other boys that I've talked to earned their disability awareness at 10 different troops that I've spoke to over the years, because my buddy Wayne is a scoutmaster, and he had me go to other troops that he's good friends with. And I talked to them. If you want me to come down to your troop, go to troop37.org. That is Pine Bush. Pine Bush Troop 37, Pine Bush, New York. Reach out to one of my scoutmasters, you could reach out to Jim Stagniano, or Mike Oney, or Jim Gill. Either or Rich Santinello, it doesn't matter which one you reach out to. They will be the ones who going to book me to come down to your scout troop and give my testimony. Because I've given my testimonies to several scout several scout meetings over the past 12 years being in the scouting program. God has opened up doors for me to speak at scout troops like the Cub Scouts, the Boy Scouts, and all that. The Sea Scouts, but Sea Scouts are tough because boats and I don't do well together. I don't do well on boats. I get motion sickness. But if you are a Sea Scout, you want me to come on your boat or wherever you meet at, I wouldn't mind doing that at all. Because I don't only talk to the Boy Scouts. I talk to any kind of scout out there. It could be wilderness scout. I don't care. With Sea Scouts, they are always out in the ocean. always and constantly, 24/7. They are out there. And that is more important than Boy Scouts. Why? Because they have more opportunities out there in the sea than on land. On land, they don't have that many opportunities to learn about nature. I like Sea Scouts. I was originally going to join them, but the Scoutmaster didn't return my call. The Scout Troop in Arizona, I was going to join them as well. No phone call back. Because when the guy heard that I was disabled, he turned me down immediately. The Scoutmaster here in New York, he took me under his wing. But it is important to, doesn't matter what you do in life, doesn't matter what kind of disability you have, but you could find ways to overcome those obstacles and overcome the challenges that you face. Verse 31 in Isaiah 40 says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." That is one of my favorite scriptures right there. What does Isaiah mean about waiting upon the Lord and mounting your wings like eagles? Because this dude, who's disabled, can't wait to drop his shell and fly like an eagle. I can't wait to get my wings. I can't wait to have a normal body besides walking with crutches and wearing leg braces. I can't wait for that day to come. I can't wait to sit on the right hand of Jesus. I can't wait for that day. I might be around for the day of judgment. I might not be around by the time that Jesus comes back. Who knows when he's going to come back? Am I going to be around? Maybe. Who knows? But am I going to stand before the throne? Yes, I am going to stand before the throne. What is Jesus going to ask me? Did he do your good deeds? Did he invite people to church? Who did he bring? He's going to look over my shoulder. And he's going to see who I brought with me. It is important not to focus on the disability, but your ability. A disability is nothing. It is nothing. Because if you want to see a disability, look at those who are demon-possessed. Look at those who allow Satan to put fear in their lives. You can't be an atheist if there is a 10-foot-tall, 5-foot-wide demon walking to your hotel room, or on the streets of your neighborhood while there's two witches right there selling jewelry. Yes, I had a 10-foot, 5-foot-wide demon punch me in the gut last year. Why? Because I approached the young lady And I talked about Jesus. And I talked about the love of Jesus. And the demon got so upset and it punched me in the gut. What kind of jewelry do I sell? Who knows? Not in crosses. Yeah, they sell bracelets, necklaces, like pearls and all that, and earrings with the mark of Satan on it. If I see those two young ladies, or that young lady again, I gotta wear the cross. Because the fall foliage is coming up. I'm gonna wear the cross that my grandma got me for my birthday. It says, "Bless and protect my grandson." And this demon is not gonna be happy. That demon won't be happy when she sees this cross on me. There are people out there who think they're limited to do things, to do certain jobs, when they do get a job. The state says that you're limited. Why? What does the state say? What does the government say that the disabled, handicapped people are limited? Because they are demon possessed. They are demon possessed. These politicians are demon-possessed. Governor Cuomo, he's demon-possessed. I can't wait for the midterm election to vote him out and put in a Christian in that office. He says, "You're not limited. No handicapped person is limited to do things. No handicapped person deserves to be in a day program. No handicapped person deserves to be in a workshop that is closing. But a real job. Like computers. Being a chef. Being a cop. Being a firefighter. Being a busboy. A waiter. Or a waitress. A host. Or hostess of a restaurant, or diner, or whatever place that involves food. And the government says handicapped people can't work on computers. They can't go to college. They can't be chefs. They can't do this. They can't do that. They can't work in a restaurant as a busboy. They can't work in a restaurant as a waiter because they stutter. Really? Really? Just because the waiter has a speech impediment? Read the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. Read the Bible. Exodus. Read the book of Exodus. Moses. He had a speech impediment. John the Baptist. Speech impediment. David. Speech impediment. They stuttered. and you're going to sit there in a restaurant and criticize the person that's taking care of you? Just because the strutter doesn't give you the right to make fun of them. Perkins. There's a young man, Matthew, Down syndrome. People who were sitting there at their tables. Matthew's their busboy. I heard somebody call him a retard. Which does my girlfriend and I. Two girls hanging out with the boyfriends. Looked at him, called him a retard. And I turned around and I said something. And I said, "You gotta call him a retard? Why? Because he has a disability? Yeah, he might be slow. But it doesn't mean you could pick on him." And I walked up to the young man, and I gave him a $5 bill. When I gave him that $5 bill, and he asked me why I gave it to him, I said, "Because you're doing a good job. And I don't care what people say about you. Just because you have a disability doesn't mean you're limited to do things." Who cares what people say to you? My friend Kelly, who was the manager there, posted on Facebook. The picture went viral. Why? Because I don't focus on disabilities. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you're born with. All I care about is I love you. That's all I care about. Every disabled person I see, I tell them, "I love you. You're a good person. God bless." I tell everybody with a disability that I love them. Why? To remind them that Jesus loves them. That's why I do it. That's why I say it. To remind them how much they're loved. I told that young man Matthew that I loved him. There's a little boy who's autistic, who's part of our recreation program here for the ministry. His name is Aiden. I tell him all the time I see him. I tell him, "Aiden, I love you. I love you." Every special needs child I see, I say, "I love you." I don't care what they say. I love you. I'm saying it to you now. If you're autistic, if you have Down syndrome, if you have cerebral palsy, I don't care what disability you have. I'm saying that I love you. I always will love you. I always pray for you. Always. Polyrealy syndrome. I don't care. I don't care. I love you as much as Jesus does. Same amount as Jesus does. That's how much I love you. Because we may face challenges. We may be picked on by people who don't understand being disabled. What it means to be disabled. Oh, you're handicapped. You're hopeless. You're hopeless. That's what the lies of the devil is saying. You're hopeless. You're useless. You won't even succeed. A disability is a lie. It's a lie. It's an excuse. Disability is not even in a dictionary. It's not even there. Let's see what Peter and John did. Chapter 3 of the book of Acts. This is one of my favorite scriptures, and I'm going to close with the book of John, chapter 9. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from people and from those who entered the temple, who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter and John said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand, and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now as the lame man who was held was healed, held on to Peter and John. All the people ran together to them. And the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power of godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, and which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him the perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people.' Yes, all the prophets, from Samuel to those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up the servant Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning away everyone of you from your iniquitous ties. Iniquities. And that is what Peter was saying. Peter was talking about iniquity. We have iniquities in Jesus. This man was lame. He was disabled from birth. Nobody knew why he was disabled. Nobody knew. Let's go to John, chapter 9. This might help you overcome your fears and what God would do to help you and use you for to be an evangelist is me. Nobody knew when I had doubts, I read John chapter 9. And it helped me understand that this man was born blind. And nobody knew why he was born blind. Why he was born this way. Nobody knew why I was born this way. But the book of John chapter 9 explains it. It says, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man, nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. That the night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore, they said to him, how were your eyes open? He answered and said to him, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and said, and I received sight. They said to him, where is he? He said, I don't know. I do not know. they bought him, who firmly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." Others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" As there was a division among them, they said to the blind man again, "What do you say about him, because he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." They again called the man who was blind and said to him, "Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered and said, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." Then they said to him again, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you do not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from." The man answered and said to them, "Why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him." since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, "You were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." Then he said, "Lord, I believe," and I worshipped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words, and said to him, "Are we blind also?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remains." God, the Jews did not know that God has changed the laws from the old covenant that was with Moses, the Ten Commandments, to the new covenant that is with Jesus coming. Yes, I have been criticized like this man was, but reading the book of John chapter 9 is the most important thing to read. Knowing that you have a disability, just because you think you can't do things, you think that things are impossible, it is possible. You may think that it's impossible to find a job that suits you. It is possible for you to find a job. It's possible for you to go to college. If you want to do something, if you want to volunteer, if you want to work, if you want to go hiking, camping, if you want to join the Boy Scouts, if you want to if you want to go boating, dog sledding, don't put your disability ahead of you. Put it behind you. Put your ability ahead of you. It's important to focus on that. Focus on your ability. I'm going to close in prayer. Father, I thank you this morning for those who are listening right now. I just ask that those who are blind, just ask that you open up their eyes to see the difference in their lives. Father, I am asking that those who are listening right now would focus on their ability, not their disability. It's important to focus on what is right and wrong. And for those who want to know you, Jesus, come into their lives and fill them up with your Holy Spirit, with your Holy Presence. And I thank you and praise you and I love you forever and ever this morning, Jesus. I pray in your name. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, as the series goes on. I would like to have you see a difference in life. God bless.